Hello and welcome to the By the Minute MFC podcast. Tonight, John Berry joins regulars Jay and Buster. How are we all, guys?
Aye, no bad.
Good, thanks.
Well, kind of like every other week, no positive results to report. A 4-0 defeat at Celtic Park, followed by a 3-1 defeat at Tannadice on Saturday. Although there was a few positives in terms of a much improved performance at Tannadice, Jay, by all accounts, a lot more spirit, a lot more fight. Reason for optimism going forward?
Yeah, definitely. I think the performance was basically what we've been crying out for weeks now. There was a lot more fight, a lot more determination. The players looked as though they are, or they now know that they're in a relegation battle. They looked as though that they now realise that they need to work harder, they need to put more effort in. For me in particular, both Stephen Pearson and Simon Ramsden looked as though they were prepared to just get stuck in. They were responding to every decision. They just looked as though they wanted to be there. They looked as though they had the interest and the determination, as did most of the players. It was a lot of positives to take from it. I think the work ethic in particular, whether that's down to Barraclough, Butenarsi's in the changing room, or whether it's a fitness thing, I'm not sure. But we did work harder. It was good to see some changes in the team. Erwin at left wing, Ainsworth dropped to the bench, so obviously Barraclough is responding to poor performances or, you know, what we perceive as being, you know, a lack of interest or a lack of motivation. So it seems as though we're slowly but surely, hopefully, you know, getting there. If the two trips to Dundee, if you compare both of them, if what we've seen on Saturday there is the result of another 2 weeks under Barraclough, then we are making progress. Whether it continues, remains to be seen, but I would definitely be positive about the game.
John, I believe that you were there on Saturday. Were you there at Celtic Park on the Wednesday?
I wasn't at Celtic Park on the Wednesday, but I caught a bit of it, you know, on a dodgy stream. So, it was night and day, to be honest, from what I saw midweek to what I saw at the weekend. The weekend was absolutely brilliant. I mean, as much as it was a 3-1 defeat and you're coming away from it, but for the first time, it was coming away from something this season, like a defeat like that. Really, really disappointed that we didn't manage to get something from it, because I think on the balance, we deserved to get at least a point. Got to agree with Jay on Ramsden and Pearson. I thought they were both fantastic, especially Pearson going forward and creating stuff, which has been a real problem for us. And it was kind of people saying, oh yeah, we've got a good goal scorer on John Sutton, that we've got to give him service. Well, he should be kicking himself for missing the chance of the goal that wasn't allowed or that was disallowed, because Pearson's done all the work for him, put it on a plate, and he's fluffed it. I don't know how he's managed it. But you know, even things like that, just creating a bit more chances, and that's positive. And to go to one of the best teams and think you can actually compete with a big difference from what we've seen in recent weeks. I thought Lee Irwin as well, I've got to mention him, I thought he was absolutely fantastic, and long may it continue in terms of effort, and hopefully we'll start to get the results that effort deserves.
Buster, I'll bring you in just a second, but there's quite a few controversial decisions on Saturday, starting with a penalty claim in the first half. I believe there was actually a penalty claim at both ends, one for a handball from McManus, Muddle broke up the other end and seemingly denied a penalty at the other end. Then the goal on the stroke of half-time, or it was given, then disallowed after consultation between referee Craig Thompson and his assistant. Jay, it seems when you're at the bottom, generally these decisions will go against you, and that seemed to be the case on Saturday.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think for me, both the penalty decisions that we had, I think the first was a foul on Erwin, the second was a foul on Pearson. For me, both of them looked like penalties. At the game, it was down the other end, so didn't get a particularly good view at it. But having watched the highlights back, I think both of them are penalties. The goal itself, I don't think it's even close to crossing the line. I think it's a really poor mix-up, if you like, between Craig Thompson and the assistant referee. I don't think it's a goal. So I think they've got the decision right eventually. But, of course, to give a goal and then and rule it out is a bit of a shambles. But you're right, I think that when you are down at our end of the table, it's that old cliche about how the luck, the decisions go against you, you've got bad luck. But I think that, again, taking positives from it, I mean, the last few weeks, we wouldn't have been in the Dundee United box enough times to get a disallowed goal and two penalty claims. So the fact that we are actually, you know, creating these situations where these decisions can arise, then that at least is progress, because we're getting in those positions where players are being brought down in the box. We're getting in the position where, as John said, Sutton really should have scored. So although a lot isn't in, if we do continue to create those sort of opportunities and keep putting that effort in, then our luck is bound to change at some point.
Basta, it does kind of seem slightly backwards that we're almost lauding a 3-1 defeat. But I suppose that's where we are this season. It's been so disappointing. The performance levels and the effort levels at times have been so poor. We've got to be satisfied that Ian Barraclough has got players motivated and putting in a good fight at what is a very hard place to go against a very good Dundee United team.
Definitely. As you say, it's pleasing to see that there's effort being put in. There's chances being created as well. You know, as Jay says, you know, we wouldn't have, a couple of weeks ago, we wouldn't even had the opportunity to moan about penalty decisions. When I watched the highlights, the first one, you know, I think the ref was a bit away from it, so fair enough. The second penalty decision, though, the ref was right on top of it, the ref was right on top of it, and I can't see how he didn't give that, to be honest with you. Again, it's good, you know, that we are sort of creating these chances, but As you quite rightly said, we're no further forward, to be honest with you. We're five straight defeats in a row now. You know, got a couple of the next four games going to be very important. I hope that it's no just a one off where, you know, they've put an effort for one game and you think the job's done. You know, you want to see them come out battle that every game.
Yeah, I think looking at the disallowed goal, Jackie McNamara said on the radio after the game that the earpiece or the communication device between the referee and his assistants was broken. So as the linesman signalled that the ball wasn't over the line, apparently shouted play, Craig Thompson thought he said goal. But it doesn't really explain why the linesman then started to run up the park and everything else. So kind of pretty confusing that, to be perfectly honest.
Well, yeah, I think the thing with that as well is, let's remember the earpieces and that kind of thing. That's a new thing. I mean, the linesman's supposed to tell the referee clearly what's going on. It doesn't have to be, you know, through earpieces. He's got a flag there and he's supposed to make it known. So I'm not sure what happened. But as I said, I don't think there's any chance it was close to over the line. But yeah, it's always a bit annoying when a goal's given and you're going mental on the away end at Tannadice only to find out it's been ruled out.
Yeah, there was not a chance it was over the line, to be honest with you. When I seen it, on the highlights, I thought to myself, there's not a chance that was anywhere near the goals. But the interesting thing for that has obviously come about the sort of drop ball situation.
Yeah.
Again, I have not seen it because I wasn't there. It's not been highlighted anywhere, to be honest with you. I'm just wondering, you know, Jay and John, if you two were there, what actually happened? What was the deal there?
Basically, all that happened is probably what I think John Sutton mentioned, that I saw quotes for him, but basically all that happened was it was a drop ball and we weren't allowed to contest it. So it was a drop ball probably around their penalty spot or just off the edge of the 6-yard box, basically a drop ball to the goalkeeper, and no Motherwell player was allowed to contest it, which is obviously complete nonsense. But yeah, that was the way he dealt with it.
Yeah, John.
I think that's the worst decision of the world, because it definitely wasn't a goal. I think even at the game, I thought there's no way that was over the line, but we'll take it. The first penalty shout from Irwin at the game, I didn't think was a penalty. Seeing it again, it's a Stonewall penalty. Pearson at the game thought it was a penalty. Seeing it again, it was a Stonewall penalty. I mean, you've got no reason to go down anyway. But to not give, not allow Pearson to go in and contest the drop ball was bizarre, absolutely bizarre. So it just allowed Dundee United to clear the lines, get the ball up, and I think they actually started an attack of their own from it. So stuff like that's really frustrating, because through no fault of their own, the mother of players find themselves in that situation. It's not them that's said, oh, it's a goal. Oh, no, no, it's not. So for me, it is really unfair. And I know we're looking at it from a Motherwell perspective, but I think even Dundee United fans would have been sitting wondering why we weren't allowed to contest it when, like any other drop ball anywhere else on the park, we would have been.
Just looking at the Barraclough reign so far, I must admit, I was really pleased to hear of a spirited performance, because I was beginning to wonder whether this guy wasn't just a rambler more than anything else. He talks a good game, but the results have been, quite frankly, this year have been absolutely abysmal. I don't think that any of us could argue with that. And there's certain kind of elements he could blame on it. Certainly, some of the players, their attitudes have been poor at best. Then you've got the fact that Stuart McCall left a team that was struggling big time, so the new manager was always going to need a bit of time to adjust. He came in and got two very good results against teams that were around us in the league at the time. In fact, after beating Partick Thistle, we kind of suggested that we might push up the table and mount a challenge for the top six. God, I really wish that momentum had continued, but Barraclough maybe just actually stamping his authority on the team, dropping some guys that have come in for a bit of criticism on this podcast and from other quarters. That's a positive for me, Jay, and as I say, I don't want to come out and say that I'm a major doubter of him, because he's not been in the job long enough to make any major assessments, but at the same time, I've not been overly impressed, and I'm encouraged by the stories coming from Tanner Dice on Saturday.
Yeah, I think the thing that we need to keep in mind is it's all very well if you've got a manager who leaves a team, resigns or is sacked or whatever, and it's a team of hard-working players, and it's players who want to be there and want to put the effort in, but it's just not working for any reason, then yeah, sometimes you'll get a new manager come in, he'll maybe change things around, or he'll put his own system in play, and then you'll see results pretty quickly, or you'll at least see performances pick up. But unfortunately for Barraclough, he has taken over a team at best with a crisis regarding confidence, and at worst, just full of wasters who aren't interested in playing. So when you take over a team like that, then it's going to take a lot of time. You're going to have to weed out these guys. I think that's what we're seeing. You know, you've got Ian Vigers, who we've mentioned, doesn't look as though he can put in the effort. And we now have him linked with Oldham, because obviously Barraclough is quite happy with the idea of shifting him on. We've got Ainsworth, who is not interested, is now dropped. So I think we're now starting to see that Barraclough is stamping his authority on it. He's weeding out the players who aren't interested. He's bringing in players who do want to work hard. I mean, John mentioned Lee Irwin earlier. I thought he was fantastic on Saturday, and he was running, you know, through brick walls. He just wouldn't stop running. So I think Barraclough is now starting to, he's got to know his players. He knows who will do a job for him and who won't. And I think probably from now onwards, that now you look for progress, because I think we've done just as many, if not more, podcasts without a manager than we have with Barraclough in charge, which shows you just how short a period of time he's been in charge so far. So I think to start making any judgments on him so far would be pretty poor form. I think he still needs a good few weeks to maybe find exactly how he wants to play, but I think the signs, at least on Saturday, are that he's getting there.
I agree with that, to be honest with you. It is too soon, sorry, to be putting sort of any blame really on Barraclough, I think. But as I mentioned, we've got four important games coming up. Three of them are at home. If we don't, you know, if we lose the four of them, questions have to be asked. Quite rightly as well, though, when you mentioned the squad that he's been left with. See, when you look at that team, the squad, sorry, that went out against Dundee United, the subs as well, there's five of them who've played right back for us this year, and there's a right back who's playing left back for us this year, the wee young boy Watt. So again, as I agree, it is too early to even consider asking questions of Barraclough, I think, but if he doesn't get it right in the next, you know, three or four games, he's going to have to answer to somebody, I think.
But just to pick up on that, I think that, again, that's a sign of how Barry Clough's dealing with more than just taking over a half-decent team. You know, he's got these right-backs. I mean, I think we've all played Football Manager. When you get a job and you go, all right, this is quite clearly a game because this squad's nonsense. You know, whoever the computerised manager's been in charge has just signed random players. That's what the squad's like. We've got all these right-backs for no real apparent reason. So Barry Clough's dealing with more than just, you know, lack of confidence or just a team struggling and he just needs a bit of a kick up the arse. He's got a squad there full of a lot of players who aren't interested, a lot of players who appear to think we're already relegated, and a lot of players that we just don't need. So to expect any sort of drastic results in a short period of time just was never going to happen.
I think the thing is, for me though, and I'll bring John back into the conversation just now, but what's your take? Has Barry Clough got to keep us in the Premier League or the Premiership or whatever we're calling it these days to keep his job at the end of the season? Do you compare it to a kind of Terry Butcher role at Hibs? Hibs weren't in any immediate danger when he took over and he managed to take them down. We were above the relegation zone when Ian Barry Clough arrived. If he takes us down, do you see him being in the job beyond the summer, John?
See, I think it's a really strange one, and I think Motherwell done the right thing, kind of played their cards close to their chest. We've never heard of a contract with Ian Barry Clough. We don't know how long he's actually signed for. So I think that's maybe a get-out clause there if it look, you know, a few months, they're thinking this isn't working out.
That's something I've never actually considered. I must confess, I never ever thought about that.
That was actually one of the things the day was appointed. I was quite like, well, I wonder how long he's signed for, because there's been absolutely no mention of it. So I don't know if that's an idea because that he maybe isn't as experienced as some managers who applied or who were interviewed. But I think it's a very strange situation that we find ourselves in, because we've been doing so well that I think that the board didn't really even, possibly never even really cross their mind that we could be in a relegation battle this season. I mean, Alan Burrow said it himself, that they didn't really think past Stuart McCall because they still felt he would have turned it round, and says a lot about how they felt about Stuart McCall, and says a lot about Stuart McCall as a guy, but then when it comes to it, they've got to make the right appointment. But one thing I took with great encouragement from the weekend, certainly, I don't know if Jake can back me up on this one, was the attitude that the players seemed to have that were on the park and the attitude they kind of had towards Barry Clough, especially at the end, when he came on and shook all their hands, and especially to Lee Irwin. Again, he'd been subbed off at this point, but I think as much as he had his critics, Josh Lockett and one earlier shift as well. And I think he came on and he kind of, you can see a bit of rapport now between him and certain players, and players that, you know, are giving their all and that you wouldn't mind sticking around because they seem to be up for it. Ramsden, God knows what's happened to him since his time like on the bench and out of the team, but came back like a man possessed. He was like an actual proper leader on the park, and he just looked so up for the fight. So I think Barry Clough is turning around. Whether, I mean, like as Buster saying, we've got to get results in the next four games because they're big games and they're winnable games, or they're certainly games we can get points from. And whether or not one of the kind of clauses in his contract was that he must keep us in the Premiership, I don't know. A big enough club to kind of go about saying that, but I think certainly from a personal point of view, he must be thinking that he's got to do it for himself and obviously for the club as well, because it genuinely does come across that he really does want to stick around and do a good job with Motherwell. It's a weird one. I don't know if the club would get rid of him. It's kind of like you said, it's eerily similar to the Hibs situation, but Hibs have got a lot more money than we do, and are probably a little bit more likely to get rid of a manager. So I honestly couldn't answer it, but there's certainly improvement there, I think, and especially in the attitude.
But there was it was a Q&A night on Thursday evening, and I was actually impressed at what Stephen McManus said. And again, he's been one that's come in for a fair bit of criticism himself, but he was saying that the younger players will spur on the older guys, and kind of vice versa, with young guys coming into defence, guys like McManus, Lasley, Hamill will all be there to help, whether that be on the park or in Hamill's case for the majority of this season, I guess from afar. But that's it was very honest in his assessment of the performances so far, describing them just simply as not good enough. And I think if Barraclough has drilled that into the guys that they can't continue to perform the way they're performing, then things will improve. These guys, I think, have dined out too long in their performances last season, when what was an unfancied squad did fantastically well to finish second, but that season finished when the last ball was kicked at Pittodrie. You can't just go on reputation and past glories. You've actually got to continue to build in that, and we've failed to do so quite considerably. The other thing with Barraclough is he's talked about bringing in new guys. I noticed tonight that Thomas Cherney, the former Hamilton goalie, has signed for Hibs, which, given they've actually just renewed the contract to their loanee goalkeeper, Mark Oxley, I was quite surprised at that. Goalkeeper, though, Busta, is that really the department we need to be strengthening? There seems kind of more obvious parts of the park that really need strengthened first and foremost.
You're right there. You're definitely right there. There's maybe other parts of the park that do need strengthened, first of all. I'll say that a forward goalkeeper right now is probably one of our least worrying things. But I know you came to me because you wanted me to go on a rant about Twardzik. I'm not his biggest fan. I think it's kind of outrageous that he's on the way to probably, you know, being up there when it comes to our Player of the Year candidates. And he's probably lost or cost us quite a few goals. I know you're going to say centre-halves and things like that have been worse and have cost goals as well. But again, he makes the simple saves, which is fair enough. I think he's got serious problems with sort of having any sort of presence. But as you said, it's definitely not one of the positions that we need to look at immediately, I don't think.
To be honest, I wasn't even thinking about you slating Twardzik. I was more actually thinking that you would maybe offer other parts of the park. But since you decided that you would kind of kiss his arse instead, then that was a bit of a cop out, I think.
Well, I sort of went both. Sort of, you know, he needs to work on things. He does okay, but I mean, where do we really need to pick up? If you think about it, we need somebody who's going to be able to run up alongside John Sutton. We technically need a left back. Luke Watt's been brilliant, you know, when he stepped in, but we technically need a left back. There's basically, you could go around everywhere and say, hey, you know, we need this, we need that. We do have a few centre midfielders at the team, in the club, sorry, but they all appear to be injured at, you know, different points or at the one point. So I don't know I don't know exactly who Barraclough's looking at. He's obviously keeping quiet about that as well, but it'd be interesting to see.
I think. See, the thing with Cerny is, I was told today that he actually was training with us last week. So obviously, I mean, whether or not he and Barraclough's actually looking for an immediate replacement or not, a bit of competition or Twardzik just now remains to be seen. But obviously, whatever happened, and Cerny went and signed for Hibs to be a backup goalkeeper, which is. That's fine. That's what he was wanting to do. I don't know if Mother will offer them a deal. I don't. Maybe they just didn't really like what they saw. Or, you know, you never know what happens with these things. But I think kind of taking apart rumours as well that we've kind of all looked at and seen on very one player, it does seem that pretty keen to get Gunnar Nielsen off the wage bill and out if he can just now. So it could have been even something along those lines. But I think as Buster says, I think there's other areas of the park that would probably. Take priority, and I think Twardzik's been doing a good job anyway. I can be a wee bit critical of him as well in terms of coming for crosses, but again, I actually felt a wee bit sorry for him. And you mentioned McManus, because McManus does get caught out a wee bit for the second Dundee United goal. It's really poor marking again from a set piece, but again, I thought McManus had a really good game at the weekend. So it was unfortunate for him, to be honest, that he kind of. There was another headed goal, you know.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I heard McManus did have a good game, which is fair enough as well, but the way he lost his man at that was absolute criminal, I thought.
I agree, I completely agree, aye.
Don't get me wrong, I think it was Chifty who made a great run in front of him. That was brilliant by Chifty, but the way Foggia spun off him initially was absolutely awful, I thought.
I know, it was McManus, I think, was the clear one, but I watched it back in the highlights of the day, and there's definitely somebody else loses their man at that corner as well, because there's two of them, three at the back post anyway.
I think it's Fraser Kell. I think Fraser Kell's man gets walkabout.
I think he had a good game as well.
No, I agree with that.
It's just unfortunate that they switch off for a minute and we're getting punished. I mean, look at it, and if you want to go into the stats of it in recent weeks, we've been losing goals from corners and crosses and everybody can see that, but Dundee United had 13 corners and they scored from one of them. So, I mean, I know they still score from one, but I suppose that's an improvement on recent weeks, the amount of cross balls that we've been doing with.
Well, you're saying as well that obviously they switched off for a minute and we lost a goal. You know, it's sort of cliche if you want, but you have to actually take your chances. I mean, as you say, it's the sort of non-goal event thing. When the ball gets cleared to John Sutton, he should have smashed that into the net.
He should have burst the net, yeah. I said that at the time. Like, I was like, I can't believe he's missed it. And, you know, if Pearson could have done it again, I think he would have just took the shot on himself. Because it was brilliant work from Stephen Pearson. I thought at the time that Pearson would be a great signing for us. And, I mean, he looked head and shoulders above some of the players in the park, which was really refreshing to see, to be honest.
Yeah, you're right. And there was also another one where Lee Irwin, you know, put on a big diagonal ball and John Sutton took a terrible touch in the goal. He just picked it up. Just confidence, you know. Maybe if he'd had a couple of goals before that, he'd be taking that down and smashing it in the net, as you say. But you've got to take these chances.
Sutton's always been very streaky throughout his career at any club. He seems to kind of go on a run where he'll score 5-6 games in a row and then he'll go 6 weeks without scoring, and that's not really ideal, but I think, as you say, he maybe needs a one to go in off a massive deflection or something like that, maybe just to prove to himself. And I think unless he goes to Scandinavia, there's every chance that Yama will stay until the end of the season as well. And I think having a partner or someone just off him will make a difference for him. Irwin's had a few chances. He missed another good chance on Saturday. He needs a goal. He's not had one since opening day. He needs that wee bit of confidence that a goal would bring as well. You've got Craig Moore. He's starting for the under-20s against Dunfermline tonight. He'll be chatting at the bit to prove to Barraclough that he's worthy of a first-team slot. So there is a wee bit of competition. So Sutton, I think, is now at the stage. But if he goes a few more games without a goal, then I think he'll be the next one for the chop.
I think it's a strange one, though, because I think for all I couldn't believe that he'd missed that chance, and the one that you're talking about as well, Buster, the kind of ball, diagonal ball comes in. I think last season he either took it first time, but it bounces and it takes a really kind bounce, and, you know, is that head tight for him? And the keeper's like going to be absolutely rooted to the spot if he takes it first time. I think last season he probably would, but this season, like you say, it's a confidence thing. But I think it's a strange one because, again, Sutton didn't have a bad game. His job is to score goals, but he was giving the defence a bit of torrid time and holding the ball up quite well and linking the play. So I think somebody, you know, really needs to just get a goal in that. So some attacker really needs to get a goal, because look at Ramsden being, it was a great finish from Ramsden's goal as well. But probably the most unlikely scorer. If you gave me a free bet on anybody to score in that game, it definitely wouldn't have been Ramsden that I would have put on. So, you know, it's I think it is. We've got a lot of strikers this now who work him on, done really well in terms of effort, and obviously looked a wee bit off the pace just in terms of coming back from an injury. Irwin looked good, Sutton looked okay, Oyama's looked okay as well when he's been playing. But somebody, we just need to get that striker to start putting the ball in the net for us. And I think, as you say, Sutton does it, he'll do it for the next few games in a row.
We're just about out of time. Jay's very quickly will concentrate on Saturday's game against St Johnstone.
And it's already 1-0 for Dunfermline. So
St Johnstone,
the future is bright, guys, there in League One.
Ireland will be poor, and they'll be joining them soon enough. Game against Inverness. Then from what I saw, very impressive against Aberdeen at McDermott Park on Friday night. Always tough opponents. Games are always quite strange against St Johnstone in recent years. We've taken them apart a couple of times. We've been taken apart ourselves. Jay, that being said, I see this one being really tight, kind of like the two encounters so far this season, which St Johnstone have won both of them, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think we're at the stage at the moment where we can't just be expecting us to go out and suddenly score goals and win games. So it's more about looking for the same sort of application, the same sort of effort that we saw on Saturday. And if we can, because, as John's mentioned as well, Pearson was different class on Saturday, and he looks as though he could be the one player, the one creative player that we're needing. So if we go out on Saturday and we put in the same amount of effort as we did at Tannadice, and we get the same sort of performances out of the players, and we get that little bit of luck, we're still waiting for a wee bit of luck to go our way. But there is really no reason whatsoever that we can't win the game on Saturday if we play the same way as we did at Tannadice.
John, as I was saying, Tommy Wright said, stubborn opposition. Also, the return of James McFadden to Fir Park, but I believe that he won't be playing.
Is he still
serving
on suspension? Is that not the case?
Yeah, the flicking the vickies at Hamilton Accies fans has ruled him out.
I think it will be a close game. I hope it at least is a close game. And I think, you know, based on Tannadice, we've got enough player. I'd probably go with roughly the same team. Maybe include Dom Thomas somewhere. Apparently, he had a bit of a knock, so I guess that's why they didn't risk him against Dundee United, which is, I think, absolutely fair enough when you've got the run of games that we've got coming up, considering how great our spark has been. But yeah, I mean, certainly I'd go with roughly the same team, because I think they've earned their start. And St Johnstone's, they're a bit hot and cold. You know, they've always been that way. Even last season, I know they had a good top six finish and everything, and then they go and win the Scottish Cup, and it's completely out of the blue, nobody really expected that. So, you know, they've definitely got good players, and players that can harm us, and players that we know as well. I've always rated Simon Lappin, although he's a really top player as well. So, and the type of player that we could kind of be doing with this season, especially down that left-hand side. So, I think he scored as well against Aberdeen, took it really well. So, they've got good players. Boy Kane as well had a good game against Aberdeen. So, you know, they will get dangerous, but I think if we play and put in the effort and play it the way we can do and have shown in the weekend, again, we were unlucky against Dundee United not to get at least a draw. So, we should be looking at it as a way to kickstart what has been a really, really poor season.
Buster, I can't make Saturday. I'm at a wedding all day, and it's weird because actually I feel like I'm missing out, which is bizarre, considering I've actually been kind of looking on with some of the results of the games I've not been to this season, thinking, Jesus, I'm so glad I missed that. Unfortunately, there's a few that I've been at that I've not missed, but I think the atmosphere amongst the support seems a wee bit more buoyed after Saturday, and maybe, dare I say, we can actually look forward to Saturday's game.
I think that most people, you know, will be able to look forward to hoping that we get some sort of result. Like yourself, though, I'll be missing it. I've just realised I'm working on Saturday, so that's not very good. But as you says, I think we'll go in there with a bit more of a positive attitude, with the fans at least will. So it'll be interesting to see. Also, just to quickly pick up as well, on McFadden, is he definitely banned? Because I'm reading here that he sat out games against Thistle, Inverness and Aberdeen, and he was able to return against us.
Oh, that's maybe right, because Ayama will be back, and he's served a 3-game suspension, and we've had 1 game less because the Kilmarnock game was cancelled, so...
Well, no doubt he'll score or something, you know. It'll be, as I say, I'm stuck in work, unfortunately, but I'll be stuck to today's version of teletext and the computer and work.
I suppose the Henry Annie thing didn't come to fruition, so we've survived one former player coming up against us. Unfortunately, two other Dundee United players managed to score against us, meaning that we lost three goals. But the signs are good. We've managed to keep out one kind of semi-prolific scorer against us, and now we come up against a club legend. So I'm sure he'll get a warm welcome, but hopefully he doesn't leave with the 3 points.
Maybe he'll pull up in the warm-up with a mystery injury or something.
Either that, or just maybe decide that he doesn't want to be with them and would much prefer it back at Firth Park for a third spell.
Couple on goals then.
Either will do. Right, we'll wrap it up for this week. John, thanks very much for coming on again, mate. And we'll have you on, I'm sure, before the end of the season.
Great. Cheers.
Jay Busta, thanks very much, guys. We'll be back same time next week for a recap of the St Johnstone game. It'll be a night before the transfer window closes, so hopefully with some signing news as well. Until then, thanks and good night.